So Florida guy crazy. Josh, right?
Sure, yeah.
All right. I'm out here in the Silver River with Florida Josh guide. No, Florida guide Josh. Why do I say that?
Like tour guide, but Florida
guide. Tour guide, Florida guide Josh.
You got it. You
can... Florida.
Josh guide Florida.
Florida. Florida guide Josh. All right.
There you go. You got it.
Out here in the Silver River, getting ready to do a podcast with Florida guide Josh.
There you go. You got it that time.
Let's do this. Wow, this looks.
I know if this
so cool.
Obviously, like, it's cool when the sun is out too, but there's a little bit of a glare, so it kind of makes it a little bit harder to see.
But honestly, like, this is so cool. I've never seen anything like it. Okay.
When the sun, it's cool. When the sun is out, it's even cooler. So we are out here paddling on the Silver River. And I want to say thank you so much for coming out today. And you can go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we can kind of just chat from there. So.
All right. Well, I am Michelle, also known as Mermaid Michi, the Guardian of the Waters. And, you know, for those of you who were wondering if I'm an actual mermaid, I am. It's a professional mermaid. But I also do other things. I'm a social media manager and content creator, gotta have multiple sources of income.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of a little bit about me. I love our waters here in Florida, and I'm a advocate for them. So you'll definitely see a lot of advocacy and education towards water conservation in Florida on my profile, on my pages.
Yeah.
So you can definitely find that. And I'm excited to do this podcast on the water. On a clear kayak. I've never been in one of these. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you so much for the echo from the bridge.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming out, and I'm excited to hang out and get to learn a little bit about your story. And so I'm excited. But we were talking. You said the last time you were out here was a couple weeks ago.
Yes. Yes.
Obviously, you're just out here for fun, but, like, I was going to ask, did you know that the paddle trail was closed?
No.
Okay.
What happened with that?
So, I guess they're building a bridge. So, they're, like, this bridge here.
Yeah.
It goes to the Ross Allen Island, which I'm sure you've probably walked. And then, I guess on the far end of that, they're going to put another bridge that's going to go across. I don't even know where it's going to go. I was talking to a volunteer, and they said that they're going to build some trails out through that side of the park.
Okay.
That kind of lead all the way to the campground.
Wow.
So it'll be exciting, but with the state park, they're usually not very...
It takes a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not very quick with projects, because we've had bathrooms that have been being constructed here, and they were supposed to be done last October, and it is now mid-March almost. And,
wow.
So those still are not done, and... Yeah, it usually takes a little bit. So,
yeah.
But yeah, because it stinks when you're out here paddling. And I know that obviously it's completely off topic. We're just talking. But when you're out here paddling, and like for myself, and when you're doing tours and all that, the paddle trail is nice because in the summertime you kind of get a break from the sun.
Mm.
And then also when you paddle back upstream, that like going against the current is a lot easier on the paddle trail. When you're on the main river, the current's a lot stronger. And so then you have like double heat and you have to fight the current. And so it's definitely,
it's going to be
an inconvenience.
Inconvenience.
For sure.
Oh, wow. I would have never even thought about that.
Yep.
But so, I guess, yeah, you got, you know, you're out here doing this all the time, every day in the sun, 24/7.
Yeah. When you're doing like multiple trips a day, it definitely getting that shaded break is nice. And then obviously not being able to swim here. Oh, look below you now. It's cool.
Let
me get over these really pretty sandy patches.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Do they make crystal clear paddle boards?
So we actually, like, EcoVenture Tours my business, we used to do strictly that. When we first started, and then there was just a lot more interest with the kayaks, and people just are a lot more comfortable with kayaking, and they don't want to fall in, especially when you have like a 8-foot alligator right next to you. They don't want to be falling into the water.
Right.
So kayaks are a little bit more safe. And, and
that makes sense.
It was more practical.
Yeah.
There's a couple of turtles here.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was just a lot more practical for us and everything. So we kind of, we like slowly transitioned. Like we had only paddle boards, then we got a couple kayaks, and then we kind of like slowly got more kayaks and less paddle boards. And then we kind of just officially have retired from doing paddle boards, the clear paddle boards.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I was out here a couple of weeks ago. Because I heard of Dot.
Heard
of Dot, and I was like, no way. I was like, I've got to see this tiny baby manatee. I've never seen, I think the smallest manatee I'd ever seen before Dot was probably, I don't know, a 4-foot baby,
okay.
You know? So they're, that's a big baby.
Yeah, yeah.
The baby manatees, newborn manatees, I didn't realize they were that
tiny. Yeah, they're very tiny.
So I had to get my butt out here and get to see...
I have to tell you the story behind that. Like, and I feel bad because obviously it's supposed to be me talking to you rather than me monologuing and stuff. I gotta, like, super quick. The story behind that is really, really funny. So that baby manatee, it was born on, I think, like the 9th or the 19th or something. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Like, it's in one of my posts. But, so I made a post saying like, oh, this baby manatee, we can just float. We're just chilling.
Okay.
I was like, we need help naming this baby manatee. And it was kind of just more for fun. Like, it was like, I know that like me, like I'm not a, like, I don't have the ability or the authority or whatever to name a manatee.
Right.
So what ended up happening was like a lot of people commented and then that post got a lot of traction and engagement and everything. And so I had a lot of people commenting and saying like, oh, like you should name the baby this or that or whatever. And I actually ended up not choosing anything that anybody suggested, but because she has like a very distinct, like white dot in the center of her forehead, I was like, we should just name her Dot. And it was kind of a joke at first, but I was like, oh, like she, that's perfect. Like she's got a dot in her head and we'll name her Dot.
Yeah.
And so then I posted another video to follow up with that video. And then that video like went mega viral. Then like other people were making videos on that video saying like, oh, baby Dot. And then like the next time I came out on the river, everybody's like, oh, have you seen baby Dot? And I was like, I think I was the one who kind of named her. Like,
yeah, it was like, that's awesome.
Oh, these people are getting towed. What the heck?
That is awesome.
I want to take a video. This is funny. And that's a cool boat too. That little,
That's probably like, super cool to like know that you named a manatee.
I know. And I had a lot of people that were commenting that I guess were like more on the scientific side of manatee research and stuff, and they were like, you know, only the scientists are allowed to name the manatees. And I was like, yeah, like I know that. Like I'm just, it's kind of more of like a fun thing that like, even if it didn't actually get a lot of people on the same page, like, hey, the baby's name is Dot.
Right.
Like I was like, at least with my business and like the people come out, like we can call her baby Dot. There, she might have 50 different names.
Right.
But
so,
like,
yeah,
we're going to call her
baby Dot.
Baby Dot. And then it
I
ended
think
up
a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like that's going to have to be her name because so many people are calling her or him, you know,
I think it's a
baby
girl.
Dot.
I'm like 90% sure it's a dot or a female.
A dot.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she's a dot.
Look at the turtles over there.
Where?
Right.
Yeah. I'm looking for the female alligator over here. But, funny story with how she was, her name is now Dot, I guess.
I love that, you know?
It's a funny story.
It's a really cool story, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Sorry to go off on that tangent. Your name is Michelle.
Right.
And then is Michi just short for Michelle, or like how did that come about?
So Michi is like my childhood nickname.
Okay.
My brothers, sisters, parents, uncles, aunts would all call me Michi.
Okay.
And when I became a mermaid, you needed to have what's called a mersona. And so it's a different, you know, you can either be Mermaid Michelle or you could be something else. So I was like, well, I'll be something else and I'll be Mermaid Michi.
Michi's a good, like, mermaid name, too.
Yeah, it's, like, cute. It's cute. You know, people say Michi, Michi. So it's also fun to play around with. And yeah, it's just something that kind of stuck. And then it went from that to, you know, Guardian of the Springs. So people knew me for that for a while. And now it's kind of Mermaid Michi.
Sorry to... You see the big gator over there?
Oh, no way.
So you can continue.
Yeah.
We're just looking.
So it went from, you know, Mermaid Michi to the Mermaid Michi, the Guardian of the Waters. So people know me as Mermaid Michi, and I'm the Guardian of the Waters.
You were a Guardian of the Springs before.
Yes.
And then I'm assuming you tried to be more inclusive of different types of water.
Well, you know, I was really focusing for a while on spring conservation until I realized that I was focusing on that, but I was also doing other kinds of conservation for water related in Florida, rivers,
like
lakes,
oceans, lakes. Yeah.
So, you know, I was boxing my own self in to just springs when I'm working on conservation for all of Florida.
Yeah. You like know, all Florida waterways.
Yeah.
I think I'm like pretty positive that's the mom that usually hangs out on the island that we just passed.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. I think, like, of all the wildlife to see out on the water, I think the alligators are, like, my favorite. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that, like, obviously they're apex predators and has every ability to unalive me.
Right.
But,
to unalive, I love that, yes. Yeah, totally. But they're dinosaurs.
They're dinosaurs. They're awesome animals, and I think just all of the, like survival adaptations that they've, like that they have is just insane. That they can go, like, super long periods of time without eating.
Yeah.
I mean, they're able to when they can survive like cold climates by like either burrowing in the ground or I'm sure that you've probably seen videos of them where they like will be in the ice and the ice will freeze over and they just have their nostril peeking out.
Yes, I've crazy. Seen that.
Yeah,
they definitely are a predator that has adapted to all types of environments.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
They're incredible animals. So I don't know. For me, like the manatees are awesome. I love them, but I think the alligators are my favorite thing to see on the water for sure.
For me, it's manatees. Like I'm telling you, I was a manatee in a past life.
Okay.
100% was a manatee in a past life, and that's why I'm a mermaid now. Because technically, to me, manatees are the original mermaids.
Yes.
Manatees are what sailors used to confuse mermaids for, you know?
Yep.
So to me, that like manatees are it. And I definitely feel such a bond to manatees, so if I wasn't a manatee in a past life, I'm going to be in the next one. I can tell you that.
They're super, like, curious animals, and they obviously don't have any predators. They're super chill and don't really have anything to worry about, and they just, I don't know. Yeah, they're cool animals for sure.
I would definitely have to be a manatee that knows where all the food sourcing is, though, you know?
Yes.
Because that's also a thing.
Endless grass.
It would have to
hopefully be,
yeah. Silver Springs is a good one.
It's a good place to be for if you're a manatee.
For sure.
So what brought you to do the whole manatee? What brought you to do the mermaid thing? Like I don't even know your background really much. I mean, did you grow up in Florida? Were you always around the water? Was that something you kind of like you were interested in later in life when you were older? Like how did all that come about?
So I've always been in water. I'm a water baby ever since I was born. I was around water, you know, grew up in the beach and always just being in the water. I was I was in the swim team.
Okay.
Like I did all kinds of things involving water. And always have had a love for water. And a long time ago, maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago now, one of my friends got me a mermaid tail for my birthday because he knew
that's
that
cool.
I was obsessed with mermaids.
Yeah.
And so that day, I opened it. I lived really close to a beach in Tampa, so okay. I went to the beach, put it on, and immediately, within, you know, 20 minutes, a group of grandmas and moms ran up to me and asked me if I could show up to their granddaughter's birthday party.
Oh, that's cool.
And from there, I got a couple of birthday parties for, you know, those ladies that found me in the beach. And I did birthday parties here and there for a little bit.
Okay.
Until I did a Guinness World of Book Records cleanup as a mermaid, and I met three professional mermaids.
Okay.
And that's when I was like, wow, these ladies here are professional mermaids full time.
Yeah.
Living the dream, and they're doing it. Like, I'm going to do it too. So.
That's cool.
I was.
That's a really cool story, though, like how that happened.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And then I, you know, eventually went from just mermaiding for entertainment to using that platform for environmental work. Because a lot of people listen to me more when I'm in my mermaid persona than when I'm a human.
You were saying, like, you met professional mermaids. What does that entail? Like, they just, like, that, like, if you're a professional mermaid, what does that mean?
So there's lots of different ways that you can be a professional mermaid. Okay. You can be a mermaid that entertains at events, grand openings, you know, things like that. You could be a mermaid that works at aquariums doing shows underwater. You could be a mermaid that teaches other mermaids how to safely be a mermaid, so a PADI or an SSI mermaid instructor. Yeah. So there's different kinds of... I guess jobs that a mermaid could potentially have.
Okay.
But these girls that I met, they were entertainers, they were free divers, one of them had her own cosmetic brand that was good for the ocean. So, like, they were all entrepreneurs making a business out of mermaiding.
Okay.
So that's basically what being a professional mermaid is. You know, it's getting paid to be a mermaid in whatever capacity you may think of.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm good at that. You know, I'm good at entertaining. I love edutaining, so, you know, entertaining and educating. And that was perfect for me. So it just kind of all fit hand in hand, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel, just with what I do for work, I feel like, obviously I'm not a mermaid, but but I feel like just as a tour guide, like you, in a way you're kind of, what was the term?
Edutaining.
Yeah. Because like you're entertaining because you're trying to like keep conversation. You're trying to share the beauty and you're talking about different things. But you're also, the blue heron.
I know.
But you're also trying to educate people and hopefully have them leave these places and these experiences with more knowledge, a better understanding, and hopefully a greater like
respect.
Appreciation and respect.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
I'm sure you probably are super familiar with, because you go and do like a birthday party or whatever. Do you still do like birthday parties and stuff?
I do. Okay. I've taken a step back from that and I'm more focused on the education and environmental work aspect of it. But I still do events.
Okay.
I've just not as many as I used to be,
I gotcha.
Do. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, so I know with doing the mermaid thing, you, like a really, really big part of that is being able to be good at swimming. Not just swimming, but free diving. Free diving is a very, very difficult skill to get good at. And a lot of it has to do with like concentrating and like training your body and obviously breath hold. Because I feel like a lot of people have the ability to hold their breath longer than they actually think that they can. But when like your nerves and everything kind of kick in and you freak out and like being calm in those situations. And so I guess like, how proficient are you in your free diving? Obviously I know you have a good amount of experience in that, but where would you say you're at in that? And like, I guess talk a little bit about that.
Well, so, you know, the free diving came way after. I was actually free diving unsafely before I knew anything about free diving. I just wanted to take really pretty pictures underwater. I saw all of these, underwater models and mermaids, and I kept pushing my own limits, knowing that, you know, I already knew how to dive. I already knew how to do a lot of things because I was a water baby. And so I came into freediving. I got my certification and just kind of have trained myself ever since then to extend my breath hold. And I work on it every day by meditating. You know, part of what you were saying is that it's a lot of mental, and it is. You know, yes, you have to train your body to endure the conditions that you're going to be putting it through, as far as, you know, how deep you go and things like that. But it's your mind that really can betray you down there when you're diving. So I meditate a lot. I used to meditate before I was freediving, so it came very easily. You know, my teacher, for my freediving instructor, he taught me a lot about being conscious with your breath and being conscious with your body and checking on your body, kind of doing like a body scan. And so I body scan all the time when I'm freediving. I prepare myself the day before, what I'm going to eat the day before, just to extend my breath hold and things like that. So, you know, I'm still working on it. I'm still training. Right now, the next step is to get my advanced freediving. I will be finalizing my Patty Mermaid instructor certification soon. So I'll be able to certify safely other mermaids to swim, you know, safely with a mermaid tail. And so that's kind of, you know, where I'm at with that. So there's still a lot that I do as far as mermaiding goes. And there's much more coming and more to do.
That's awesome. I know, like, freediving, I am by no means any bit of professional. I've never taken a freediving course. A lot of, like, what I know and what I have, I know, like shallow water blackout is, like, a real thing.
Yep.
And people underestimate what it is and how it can happen, and nobody thinks it'll happen to them, and that's how people die.
Yep.
And here's where we're going upstream now against the wind, too.
That's all right.
So I try not to, like, super push myself. And if I do anything like that, I'm definitely making sure that I have somebody with me.
Right.
Because I just know, like, I probably need to take courses and get more proficient with all of that. And I think that, I mean, it's a very accessible sport, but I feel like a lot of people think that it's easier than what it is.
Right, and there's a lot of glamorizing it right now with social media. You know, social media glamorizes everything, and a lot of people don't realize that, you know, I can stay underwater doing a lip sync video for a minute.
Yeah.
But I've trained for that. Like, it's not something that you could just, oh, let me get underwater and hold a big rock and go rock running. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that simple. And shallow water blackouts are so common. And people don't realize that you can drown in that shallow amount of water. And it is a thrilling sport, but it's a dangerous one. So, honestly, there's so many different freediving instructors that I know that I'm sure I could connect you with several and get you started, because honestly, for your safety, it's a great idea to get yourself, especially if you're going to keep doing it, you know that you're going to keep going, you know that you're going to keep wanting to dive, might as well get yourself the certification.
And
it's for safety too.
Definitely.
If you're the only one that knows and you're all freediving, you know, and doing stuff, and you could save your friend's life. You know, it's just,
true.
I did it for the safety aspect, because I'm like, I already know how to dive to 30 feet. I don't need a certification to tell me I know how to do that.
Yeah.
It was more so the safety and also getting to know your body, because depending on the instructor, they're going to talk to you about how to train your body and how to control your mind and your thoughts and how to meditate and how to get yourself to that level of being able to hold your breath for 2 or 3 minutes. Because everybody can do it. You're absolutely right. Everybody can freedive. Everybody can hold their breath for a lot longer than they give themselves credit for. And at the end of the day, we're all water babies. We lived in a womb full of water for 9 months of our life. Like,
true.
You know, so it's definitely engraved in us. We have the mammalian dive reflex as something that we can do. it just takes training and a safety form, like a safe form of doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I definitely, like, obviously after this we can talk about that, because I'm very interested in, like, getting more experience and I, again, like, just the whole safety aspect of it. I mean, yeah. That's not something you want to, like, take lightly. You're like, oh, yeah, like, I could drown, but, like, no big deal. Like, what's a couple $100 worth me drowning over it? Like, it's not worth it. Like,
well, it's also, you know, aspirating.
Oh, sorry.
You're good. Aspirating is something that can happen. I don't know if you even know what that is.
I mean, I know the term, but I don't, like, in regards to freediving, no, I don't know what.
So, aspirating as in you come up or you inhale water.
Yeah.
That happened to me a couple of weeks ago, and it could kill you. It could.
Just getting water in your lungs.
Yes, because yeah. You have water in your lungs. And if I didn't know that, and I didn't know about freediving, and knew myself and my body and knew that I aspirated instead of choking, which is different, I could have died. So just having that knowledge from my class of, like, okay, what is aspiration? How does your body, like, react to it? What can happen? Should I go to the hospital? Should I not go to the hospital?
Yeah.
And I was going back and forth with myself of, should I go to the hospital? Should I not? I called my freediving instructor and literally it was like, okay, well, you could die or you could not. So why don't you just go to the hospital and like stop, you know, and,
sure
and I'm
you're...
glad I did, because I did. I aspirated. I had to get antibiotics, doctor appointments to make sure that I wasn't going to get pneumonia afterwards and things like that. So even if you're an amazing diver, you could aspirate, you could have a shallow water blackout. There's just so many different things that we cannot control when we are in the water. So it's always better to be safe than sorry. And it's an investment. It's an investment in yourself and your health to make sure that, you know, you can come out of every single dive alive.
It's very true. Sounds like you recited that. Or at least you've said it a few times. But
well, and for underwater modeling, too. I do a lot of underwater modeling.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother animal. Depending on what you're wearing, you could drown. Like if you're wearing a dress that's very heavy and will keep you down.
When it's saturated, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different underwater things that is good to have the knowledge that a freediver does.
Sorry, continue.
Yeah, no, that's it. It's good to have that knowledge.
No, I agree. I was going to ask, have you seen that one dude who, I think he lives somewhere in, like, the Middle East, but he does, like, the...
Oh,
the
my gosh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I know exactly
he's
who you're
crazy.
Talking about.
He's crazy.
Yeah.
I know that is not easy.
No.
And I know you know from This Is What You Do that, like, what he does is insane. And people, like, watch it, and he'll do, like, a trendy, like, song.
Yes.
And he'll dance to it or do, like, his underwater routine to it. And people just, like, oh, yeah, like, that's cool or like that. But, like, no, like, that is
it's extremely
crazy.
Difficult.
And he, like, all of his movements are so, like,
to the beat.
Precise and, like... It's insane how good he is.
There
it's wild.
There are so many of those dances that I cannot do, and I give him props because I will spend hours underwater trying to do these dances, trying to match it up, and it is so much, like, I'm a dancer, so I can dance above water.
Yeah.
So I know the dance above water, but doing those things underwater to the beat, sometimes they're so fast. So, yeah, I'm obsessed with that guy. And that helps, you know, learning how to freedive and do all that also helps me stay underwater, which allows me to be more comfortable without a mask, with being able to lip sync. I love doing the lip syncing videos. People think it's crazy. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. And being able to hold my breath for a long time is not just so that I can dive deep. It's so that I could do those kinds of things as well, you know?
What, oh my goodness, I totally just lost my question. I'm so sorry. It was about the, so with the music. So if you're doing, like, so obviously your routine, it's not like you just jump in the water and you're able to, like, in rhythm, dance to a song, because, like, how, I mean, does a song play underwater? Like, how do you know what the rhythm, like, how do you... So is it just purely
memory? Basically memorize and prepare before I even get in the water, right? So depending on the sound, I learn the sound so that I know it by heart. And if it's a dance, then I learn the dance and I do it all. And I practice above water before I go underwater. Mm-hmm. Then I have a practice run underwater, which means I'll go down to like my pool and I'll practice it and see what it looks like. See if I'm a little bit, off beat or... the if it just looks weird or, whatever, if I have to change something. So, and then I'm like, okay, where am I going to go to film this? I do a shot list of exactly what I need. So it's like still a whole process.
It's a production.
Yeah, it's a whole production. And then I have to find a safety diver. So most of the time my videos are...
Look how tiny that turtle. I'm sorry. Look how small that turtle is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
He's like the size of like a quarter. What the heck? That thing's so tiny.
Oh my god.
That looks like one you would like have in a...
In like your home tank. Oh my god.
That thing is so tiny.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Sorry, buddy. Oh, he's getting spooked. That's so tiny.
It's like, you're right, it's like a dollar.
Yeah. That thing's so cute.
Oh my gosh. I have not seen one of those since the pet store.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's one you would have like at your house, and he's so tiny. He turned and posed for us.
Hi, buddy. Aww.
It's cute.
How did you even spot him? Do you have like 20/20 vision?
No,
dude?
I just know like...
Holy macaroni.
I think it's so funny because when you meet people who are like... I mean, I feel weird saying this because like to be like, oh, I'm an expert. But like when you meet people who are like really good at what they do, like they make, I guess, stuff kind of seemingly not... But like for me, I know all of the tree stumps. I know what looks off. I know what is... different, like, because obviously that turtle's not there all the time. There's one right here. But so again, similar to like you're an expert at what you do, like the lip singing under the water, like that's not easy, and you make it look really easy.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Oh, like, and getting back to your question.
Yeah,
do I listen to the music? Yes.
Yeah,
so, I have a waterproof phone case that I put the phone with me underwater and I play the sound as loud as possible.
So you can hear it when you're...
So I can hear it, exactly. Because I tried the whole, I'll sync it later.
Yeah.
And you're never going to be you're never going to be on point unless you have the sound to go with.
Yeah.
So
unless if you're like that good at memorizing.
Correct.
Like the rhythm of a song. Yeah.
And even so, like there's no songs that I know like the back of my head, but if I do it underwater without the music, I'm off by a millisecond, you can tell.
Yeah.
So it definitely is a lot more preparation than people think. And then either having a good camera person or what I usually do is I mount my camera somewhere so it's looking at me, there's no movement whatsoever, and my safety is behind the camera.
Okay.
So there's a lot less room for error there.
Yeah.
And it makes it a lot easier. But sometimes if it's swimming things or videos where I just need somebody to follow me and things like that, then the cameraman, follows me around versus just a static shot. So there's a lot of planning to it. I definitely take my shooting seriously, and I have what are called shot lists and a plan, and I call them content days, where you go and you create the content, and then there's times where there's no content creation. It's just go out and have fun and enjoy the water.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
What, so... This doesn't have to be super elaborate, but like, what's been like the shortest content day? Maybe you just had like for a full production with a song and doing a dance or whatever. Like, what's been like your shortest and what's been like your longest? Like, have you had multi-day content days filming or like?
So the shortest I'd say would be like from start to finish. So pre-production, post-production, all of it, 2 hours.
Okay.
The longest, I'd say a whole weekend, like 3 days, because it was a whole weekend of, okay, I'm here literally just to create content.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was creating content for a brand. So I was saying I'm also a content creator.
Yeah.
I create content for brands. to either post on their social medias or I posted on my social media and things like that. So that was for one of the shoots that I needed to do. So it was literally content all day, had the day planned out, knew where we were going, what we were shooting, all of that. So, okay. Yeah.
So when it comes to content, I guess what's like your go-to camera? What is like your, I mean, I don't know if you have any sponsorships or anything like that with a particular camera brand that you're kind of tied to, or what do you use when you're shooting in the water?
So for the most part, most of my content has been shot with a GoPro.
Okay.
I usually always have the latest GoPro, but recently I've started using the Ace Pro from Insta360.
Nice.
So it's like a GoPro, but I have to say it's better.
Okay.
I was a diehard GoPro person.
Yeah.
And then I tried this guy, and just alone for what I do, which is underwater, the quality of content underwater coming off right off camera is insane compared to the GoPro, where you have to immediately go in and do a little bit of color grading and stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, you could do more color grading to the content that comes off the Ace Pro, but if you don't know what you're doing or you just need to post something quickly, it's amazing. It looks so good. And it's just really, really good. Like within a week of having the Ace Pro, I got rid of my GoPro. Wow. I said, okay, I no longer need this. And I'm actually getting a second one for my BTS content. So
nice.
I'll have two Ace Pros to utilize. The lighting mode when there's low light is amazing.
Really?
Yes. It's actually really, really good. Better than my phone. It's overall, that's a really good camera. But honestly, both are really good. Depends on what you want to use them for.
Yeah.
I think they're around the same price.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that would be, if anybody wants to get a camera to do underwater content creation, a good one is either the GoPro. I would get the latest one if you can. Or anywhere from like the 10 up, because they have more stabilization.
Yeah.
Or get the Ace Pro. The Ace Pro is amazing as
my action camera story or journey, I guess, was like I started with GoPro. I think I had like the 3 or the 4 was like the first one that I had.
Okay.
And then the most recent one I have, which is this camera that's on you right now, is the Hero 9.
Okay.
And then I was ready to upgrade because the 9 is like 3 or 4 years old now, and it's not bad, but it's definitely getting outdated.
Yeah.
And so then that was, I kind of was like, okay, do I want to go GoPro again or do I want to try something different? And then actually kind of doing this podcast is what, because I wanted a good mic system, and when I was looking into mics, I saw like the Rode wireless mic, and then I saw the DJI one, and then I ended up kind of going with the DJI, and it works seamlessly with the DJI action camera, which is what I have.
Right.
And so that's kind of why I went that way. But when I compare, I know this is the Hero 9, which is a little bit older, and this one is, I think, the equivalent of like the GoPro Hero 11.
Okay.
When I compare this guy to this guy, this one like is insanely better, but it's also like 2 generation difference. It's hard to compare them, but I love this camera. Like, I think the quality is so good. And
is it waterproof?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's and then I think a big part, which I know the Ace Pro has as well, is a magnetic mounting that you can like clip it onto stuff.
Yes.
And like that to me, I think is huge because the accessibility, the ease of use, and all of that makes it so much more appealing to me because it's just like I can just have these little magnetic mounts on everything and I can just go from one thing to the next, and it's very secure.
Yeah.
But it's also like really quick and easy to use.
Yeah, I absolutely love it, honestly.
Yeah.
I love the magnetic clips. It makes a lot easier. User friendlier.
Yep.
Faster.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely.
And I think for like what you were saying with the Ace Pro and how good the video quality is. I mean, it's not so much like, you can have the most cinematic and incredible shots with honestly any camera, any action camera, but it's like for somebody who's doing content regularly, and that is like, I mean, your job and your means of how you support yourself and everything. Like, you want things to be very streamlined,
yep.
very easy. And if you don't have to, if you can eliminate that post-process editing and you just use what's straight out of the camera. Oh, my bad. and you're just using straight out of the camera. I feel like the Ace Pro blows the GoPro out of the water.
Yeah.
But like, if you're color grading, GoPro, I think, potentially could be a better camera.
Right.
So, yeah, it just kind of depends on what your use case is and all
Yeah,
of that.
Like, I don't have a lot of background in editing and stuff like that, right? So, for me, it makes it a lot easier to just be able to post something right off camera without needing to do much, right? Mm-hmm. And with the GoPro, it was a little bit more of a process, which is still fine.
Yeah.
But for ease of purpose, that was one of the reasons why I really like the Ace Pro. It's just right off camera. It looks amazing. And obviously, it's going to look really good if you put a little bit more editing time into it.
Yeah. Ooh. I know that wind.
Looks like we might get some rain.
I know.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I might grow a tail, though.
I know. It kind of looked like it was going to rain this whole entire paddle, but it ended up kind of being nice because it wasn't 85 degrees out like the weather said.
Yeah, but I thought it. That's literally what I dressed hot. For. Yeah, like the whole hat and everything. I'm like, oh, man, I'm a burn.
Yep. Well, I guess we are kind of heading back to the ramp. We're on the paddle chair. We can kind of just drift for a second because I don't want to catch up with the people in front of us.
Okay.
We can just chat. But so I guess before we come to a close here, which I know is sad, do you have anything that you would want to like share or talk about? I mean, I guess like real quick, we can touch on like conservation and stuff. So I mean, because obviously you talked a little bit about the story of like getting into doing the mermaiding. How did you transition into doing like conservation, and how did that become a big part of what you do?
Well, I realized that I wasn't getting anywhere with my conservation messaging as a human. So I decided to give it a go as a mermaid. Uh-huh. And the video that I posted with the conservation went viral overnight. Grew 20,000 followers. Like, it was insane. So I realized at that moment I needed to blend the two instead of keep them apart.
Yeah.
And it was the best thing that I've ever done for myself because, you know, I use the character Mermaid Michi, the Guardian of the Waters, as a character to not only bring magic to people and to people's events, but then also as a way of allowing the conversation of conservation for water to happen naturally, right?
Yeah.
People ask me who I am. I tell them I'm the Guardian of the Waters, and they're like, well, what does that mean? You know, and I start with my persona. You know, my job is to guard the waters of the planet, and, you know, everything is connected. And so it just creates a very easy way for me to talk about conservation in a magical way and get people to listen.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it. So there's more to come with that. You know, there's all kinds of different avenues that I'm going for as far as edutainment.
Yeah.
And it all started off of one video of me trying to get a message out. And it's not going to stop. A lot of people know me in this world for my conservation efforts as a mermaid. And I'm very excited about it. I've been able to entertain and educate people all over the world about
you have a
water issues.
Very big following, for sure.
Yeah.
And
so
it's cool.
Awesome.
I mean, obviously you can take that and just use it for like your career, but also to take that platform and to use it for something like that is, I think, really like admirable, I think is the word. but really cool that you're doing that and using that platform to protect and to conserve Florida and not just Florida, but I mean, I think worldwide as well. I mean, there's a lot that people don't realize that how much we depend on the waters and how much they play like a huge role in just your day-to-day life that you don't even think about.
Yeah, I mean, Floridians, we are lucky. We have the largest concentration of fresh water springs in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And I just learned this the other day. We have the largest underwater cave system in America. Okay,
yep.
So think about that. And there are people already in the state of Florida who don't have access to clean drinking water.
Yep.
And we have the largest concentration. Like, how is that even possible, right? So being able to use my platform to raise that awareness and to shed light on how our water, the water in Georgia, all of the water needs to be protected. Because what happens upstream affects downstream. And we are downstream from a lot of states.
Yep.
So it's definitely evolved from just spring conservation to all types of water conservation. And I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping.
No, we don't want you to. Yeah. All right, last thing. So how can people find you? What all, like, are the social platforms you're on and what, I mean, I can add this stuff afterwards, but how, just so people can know on camera here.
Yeah, so people can find me at Guardian of the Waters, Mermaid Michi. Those are my handles. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And it's honestly the easiest way is just Guardian of the Waters, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then if people want to learn more about you other than following your socials or even just wanting to get involved with conservation and all of that, what would you recommend for people? What would be a good direction for them?
Well, you know, if you have questions about different organizations, you can always reach out to me. But then also, if you want to volunteer with the Springs, the Florida Springs Institute, the Florida Springs Council, great places to go. They're nonprofits. And if you don't know where to volunteer, I can help you find where to volunteer, no matter where you are in Florida. So send me a DM. Find me on any single one of those platforms. It is me behind the messages. So you will get my response and we'll get you started with water conservation.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Michelle Mermaid Michi, for coming out. I do appreciate you.
I appreciate
you. It was a lot of fun getting to meet you because I know we haven't like officially had this conversation.
Right.
So
right.
It's cool to get to do this and get to share this message with people. So thank you for coming out.
And thank you for hosting us. This honestly, this is awesome. I absolutely love that we get to come out and enjoy nature and talk about nature.
Yeah.
In one of the most beautiful places in the world. So thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Yeah.
All right, take care.
This is awesome.